Welcome to Shouts of Grace with pastor and Bible teacher Steve Pearson of Redemption Hill Church in Eagle Mountain, Utah. At Shouts of Grace, it's our purpose to encourage you to see the Bible as God's source of truth for everyday life and grace as the foundation for a genuine relationship with God. Today, Pastor Steve hands the baton over to Pastor Jason Benson, speaking on Psalm chapter 1. The title of Jason's message is Rooted in Delight, How to Find Delight in the Lord, Changing Our Hearts for the Better. Thanks for listening, friend. Here's Pastor Jason.
Psalm chapter 1, verses 1 through 6. It says, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish." Let's pray. Father God, we are in awe of you this morning and what you have done, what you have done, what you are doing. And God, we believe this is only the beginning of what you are going to continue to do here. God, we rejoice, Lord, in this celebration of people who have come to know you, Jesus, and they're making their proclamation of faith known. And God, we celebrate with that. But Jesus, it's all your work. And we want to give you all the glory for it. And I pray right now that you would open up our ears to hear, open up our minds and our hearts, God, to understand what you have for us in your word. Because, God, your word is life. So speak to us this morning, I pray, in Jesus' name. We just read Psalm chapter 1. And in this psalm, the psalmist, he gives us two different pictures. He gives us two different paths, two different ways. You have the path of the righteous, and you have the path of the wicked. Now, these two paths are going to be, it's a common theme throughout the entire book of Psalms. So we have it introduced to us in the very first psalm. The psalmist says there is a path for the righteous, but there's also a path for the wicked. And my aim in this message this morning is not simply to explain these two paths and describe what they look like, although we will do that. My aim and my heart behind this is really, I want to compel you, I want to plead with you to see and to taste the beauty of Jesus Christ, and therefore to be set on the path toward delight. Now, it doesn't matter who you are, whether you're in the category of the path, you're walking in the path of the wicked or the path of Jesus. My friends, we're all seekers of pleasure. We're all seeking pleasure. And like I said, it doesn't matter what path you're on, we're seeking pleasure. The question then that we must ask ourselves this morning, given that we are all together in this pursuit of pleasure, is the path that I'm on leading me to pleasure that is full and unfading? Or is the path that I'm on right now leading me to a mirage that ultimately ends up in disappointment and, in the end, death? Which path are you currently on? Or another question to ask yourself is, who or what are you delighting in? So let's look at the path of the wicked. In verse 1, it says, "Blessed is the man who walks not." So we know the blessed man does not walk according to this path. Therefore, we can assume that those who walk according to this path is following the path of the wicked. So that it would read like this: the wicked walk in the counsel of the wicked. The wicked stands in the way of sinners, and the wicked sits in the seat of scoffers. So the psalmist here, we want to find out, the psalmist gives us three groups of three, right? He gives us a man walking, a man standing, a man sitting. A man who receives counsel, and from that counsel he finds a way to walk in, and then we see him seated, and we see the wicked and the sinners, those who are engaging in sin, and the scoffers. Is the psalmist here describing to us that this path is a progression, a spiraling downward? That's what we want to find out. The word wicked is more of a general term. I want you to understand that. When he says in the path and the counsel of the wicked, it's more of a general term. So if it's general, then how do we know what is wicked? How do we know what path we're on, right? Because we're clearly all on a path. So how do we know? Jesus said in Matthew chapter 12, verses 30, he said, "Whoever is not with me is against me," right? So right there, Jesus lays it out extremely clear for us. You have a path that is with Jesus, that is following Jesus, that is listening to Jesus's teachings and walking and living as he lived. And then you have every other path. So every other path that is not with Jesus is the path of the wicked. This is general wickedness in the world. We see this more clearly in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 4, where Paul says, "The God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers." The God of this world, this is Satan. This is our adversary. God has given him temporarily rule over this world to blind the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel in the face of Jesus Christ. So we have an adversary who's working against us, blinding us. We also see in 1 John 5:19, John says the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. Okay, so here's the picture. Two paths, one that is with Jesus and one that is being blinded by the enemy. And the whole world is leading this way, right? So that's the path. And you're either on one or you're on the other. The psalmist says the wicked walks in the counsel of the wicked. So they're receiving counsel from the evil system that's in the world outside of Jesus Christ, against Jesus Christ. I want to ask you this question this morning. Who are you taking counsel from? Or better yet, who are you currently listening to? Church, be careful who you allow to have your ear. In other words, don't give everyone a voice in your life. Here's kind of a funny illustration of this. When I was around 16 years old, I had a really good buddy of mine, and my memory's really bad, so thinking back, I can't really remember if it was his idea or my idea, but I'm going to put it on him because it makes me feel better this morning, so I'm putting it on him, right? But we had this great idea. It was 4th of July, and if you're from the Southeast, you know in the Southeast, we really enjoy to blow stuff up and fireworks, right? So we got as much as we could hold. We took all our fireworks with us, put them in our pockets, and we're like, this is the idea. We're going to wait till it gets dark, and then we're going to go wreak terror on our neighborhood, right? And so that's what we did. We went out and we found homes, and if the lights were on, we would just sneak up there crawling through bushes just to kind of peek in to see if anybody was sitting close to the window, and we'd put all these fireworks on top of the window and light them off, and just, right? And then we'd run scared to death and to the next house where we would do it all over. Now, church, we had a blast. I'm going to be honest with you. It was a blast. Was it the right thing to do? No, but we had fun in doing it. Okay, so now we're walking home. We get to walking down the street. We get to my house. I can see my house from a distance, and there's a cop car in my driveway. And I still have fireworks in my pockets. I still got the lighters that we were using. We probably just smell like smoke, right? Man, I'm panicking. I'm like, okay, it's over. I'm done. I'm ruined. I start taking everything, hiding the evidence, because that's what you want to do, right? You want to hide the evidence. And so I was taking them and throwing them in the bushes. I threw my lighter away. And then we come inside the house, and here, sitting in the kitchen area when you first walk into the room, it's my brother and his girlfriend. The cop is standing there, my mom and my dad. And it's like we're walking into this major intervention, you know? And then all of a sudden, my mom looks at me with, like, you know, terror in her face. You can tell she's traumatized. And she said, "Jason, your brother and his girlfriend were just robbed by gunpoint. And I have never been more happy in all of my life." It was the greatest feeling, and the hardest thing was, like, I was trying my hardest to hold it back, you know what I mean? Like, oh, that's awful, right? But I put my acting skills on, and we did that. Anyway, the point of the story is that you need to be careful who you're listening to, right? Because it could have ended up a lot worse for me, right? But thank you, Jesus, for your blessings. I've heard someone say, favor isn't fair, right? You know, that's funny. Anyway, so you be careful who you allow to speak into your life, right? Because the wicked are taking counsel from the wicked. They're listening to the things in the world, and they're receiving counsel from that. So they're walking, they receive counsel. Now we have the next step where it says that the wicked stands in the way of sinners. So, okay, so we see the path, they're walking, and then all of a sudden, from the counsel that they receive, they're on a path, and they stop, they look around, because they were following this way, and all of a sudden now they're at this place where they're like, okay, this isn't too bad, right? Now they're sinning, right? So they stand in among the sinners, and now they're not just hearing or walking. Now they're actively engaging in the sin. We see the progression downward. The progression continues for the path of the wicked. Till finally, they just sit down, right? The wicked sit in the seat of the scoffers, right? So this is another stage, another level. They were standing. They liked it so much, they just took a seat in it, right? Now they're seated along that council to the way, and they're seated. And now they're not just seated among the sinners, but they're seated among the scoffers. Now the scoffers are the one that not only sin, but they boast in their sin. They enjoy their sin. They're proud of their sin. They encourage others to participate in the sin with them, right? So we see clearly there's a path. It progresses downward, and let's read how it ends. We're going to look at the last three verses. This is the end of the path for the wicked. The wicked are not so, meaning they're not prosperous like the righteous. The wicked are not so, but they are like chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. So the end is perishing. Now, the problem that we have at this point, and that we all need to realize, is that every one of you, including myself, all of us, we start on this path. This is where we start. This is where we begin. How do we know this? Well, let's look at Jeremiah chapter 17, verses 9. The prophet, it says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it, right? Our hearts, just think about that. The very core of our being, the center of who we are, our heart by nature is deceitful. And it's not just deceitful. It's deceitful above everything else. Our heart is deceitful above all other things. We're talking about paths to walk on. So I've heard many times people would say things like, but I had an experience and I felt something so real to me that I know this is good and I know that this is the right thing. Okay, so I was so connected to it in my inner man that I just know this is the path that I'm supposed to walk on. And yet Jesus earlier, as we said, whoever is not with me is against me. Here's the reality, church. If that which you feel so strongly is real and true and good or delightsome or any of that, and it's not in line with Jesus, your heart is deceiving you. And your heart is very good at deceiving you above anything else. So our hearts are deceitful. Hebrews 3:10, says, therefore, God is speaking about the generation of the Israelites that he had rescued from Egypt with a strong, mighty hand. Now they're wandering in the wilderness for 40 years, and God's providing for them every morning. They wake up in fresh manna. This is miracle food every day. They're eating miracle food. Their shoes are not wearing out. I don't know about you guys, but my shoes are not going to last 40 years. Their shoes didn't wear out. God provided for them, and yet God says, I was provoked with that generation, and said, they always go astray in their heart. They have not known my ways. They're always going astray in their heart. And then Romans 3, verses 10 through 12, Paul tells us, he's actually quoting from Psalm chapter 53, verses 2 through 3. In Romans, quoting Psalms, he says, none is righteous, no, not one. No one understands. No one seeks for God. All have turned aside. Together they have become worthless. No one does good, not even one. D.A. Carson, a theologian that I enjoy to read, he said, listen to this. People do not drift toward holiness. Apart from grace-driven effort, people do not gravitate toward godliness, prayer, obedience to Scripture, faith, and delight in the Lord. We drift toward compromise, and we call it tolerance. We drift toward disobedience, and we call it freedom. We drift toward superstition, and we call it faith. We cherish the indiscipline of lost self-control, and we call it relaxation. We slouch toward prayerlessness and delude ourselves into thinking we have escaped legalism. We slide toward godlessness and convince ourselves that we have been liberated. This is what our deceitful heart does to us. And this is the place that we gravitate to. Your chief problem is not your neighbor that you don't get along with. Your chief problem is not your boss. Your chief problem is your own, my own wayward heart. So that's our problem. So the question is how does someone detour from what is naturally contrary to the good, the heart being naturally contrary to the good? How do you make a detour from that to that which is actually good? If your heart is the problem, what's the solution? You need a new heart. If your heart is bad, you need a new heart. But you can't just go and take your heart out, right? And then go to the shelf and pick up a better heart and just go ahead and put it in here. It doesn't work that way. So if that's the problem, it means that we cannot fix this problem. So what is our answer? What is the answer that we need? Well, Jeremiah, speaking to a people in his day that had rebelled and they were idolatrous and their hearts were leading them away from godliness and they weren't following him. Jeremiah says in chapter 32, verses 33, God says this, "For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord." After those days. He's speaking to the future. He's saying, "This is the covenant that I will make after those days, and this is the covenant, I will put my law within them. I will write it on their hearts," right? "And I will be their God, and they will be my people." Ezekiel chapter 36, verses 26 also says this. God says, "And I will give you," speaking of this new covenant to come, "I will give you a new heart, and a new spirit I will put within you, and I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh." The problem is the law was over here. God gave them the law, but their hearts were deceptively wicked, and they couldn't keep the law. They kept breaking the law because they weren't perfect. The standard is perfection because God is perfect. And those who go to heaven must be perfect. And if you're not perfect, you're in trouble because you can't get there and you can't keep the law. The law is out here. God says, enough is enough. One day, it's going to be a new covenant. I'm going to take my law and I'm going to write it inside their hearts. Okay, so we see what God is going to do in that future day. So the question we have now is, okay, so So how do we receive that? We see that, God, this is something that you have to do because we can't do it in and of ourselves. But how do we receive a new heart? Church, we receive a new heart because Christ came and bore the wrath of God that should have been ours to bear. Christ came into a world that hated him, into a world that rebelled against him, the perfect, spotless Son of God. And he came and he bore the wrath of God on our behalf. Isaiah 53 verse 6 says, "We all," that's including you and me, "we all like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him," the Father laid on Jesus, "the iniquity of us all." At the cross. 2 Corinthians 5:21. This is the great exchange. I encourage you to memorize this verse, to hide this verse in your heart. "For our sake he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." This is the great exchange. This is called imputation. Christ came perfect, spotless, fulfilled the law, every letter of it, never sinned. And he went to the cross, and the sins of the world, your sin, your wrong, your guilt, everything that you feel ashamed of was imputed on him. It was placed on him as if it was his himself. And he took that to the cross, and he endured and absorbed the wrath of God because God is just, and no sin will be overlooked. Every sin that has ever been committed will be dealt with because God is holy. It's either dealt with in the end, destruction of the wicked, or it's dealt with on the cross. And Christ took upon himself our sin on the cross. And the beauty of it is, as our sin was imputed to him, what do we receive in return? We receive the imputation of his righteousness. It's placed on us. It covers us. It's counted as if it was ours ourselves. And when the Father sees us, what does he see? He sees the perfect beauty of his Son, Jesus Christ. And therefore, we can go boldly to the throne of God without fear. Okay, so that's what had to happen. Okay, we had to get a new heart, and Christ had to do something for us. He had to take upon himself. Okay, so that leaves us with this. Okay, so how do we receive that? How do we get that? Philippians 3:9. Paul says that his aim is basically to be found in him, to be found in Jesus. This is my aim, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law. I can't do it. I can't get there. Works will never get me there. I'll never be clean enough. He says, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith. Say faith, church. Faith. That which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness of God, the righteousness from God that depends on faith. In church, this is how you receive the new heart. It's the faith. It's the seeing and savoring of the beauty of Jesus Christ on the cross, bearing your sins that you deserved, and he took your place. It's seeing him in what he did for you, and it's believing, and from that, the righteousness of God is imputed to you. The laws of God are now written on your heart. Your heart is changed. It's not stone anymore. It's now flesh. This new heart through faith puts us on the path of the righteous. This is how you get there.
Thank you for joining us on today's episode of Shouts of Grace with Pastor Steve Pearson. We hope you've been encouraged to see the Bible as God's source of truth for everyday life and grace as the foundation for a genuine relationship with God. If you've been encouraged in your journey following and learning more about Jesus, we would love to hear from you. You can visit us online at shoutsofgraceradio.com. There you can listen to all of our episodes, share them online with your friends, and find out more about Pastor Steve. Shouts of Grace is an outreach of Redemption Hill Church in Eagle Mountain, Utah, and we invite you to attend our Sunday morning gatherings. For location, sermon times, and contact information, check us out at rhutah.church. Thank you again for joining us on today's show. And from all of us here at Shouts of Grace, it is our prayer that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. Shouts of Grace is a production of Key Radio.